Now you look at the lineup of where it's at. You're just like, man, we couldn't get no runs last year with the names that we had. And it's just rough, man. It's just rough. But without further ado, let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, bring in our own 92.3 The Fan beat reporter James Rapine. How you doing, my man?
What's up, Garrett? How you doing, man?
Man, listen, man. Talk me off this ledge, bro. I'm over here. Listen, talk me off this ledge. This 2-0, that loss, it got me feeling like a certain way because I'm looking around like, and I get Lindor wasn't playing. I get it. I totally wholeheartedly feel like that. But for certain fans, and you know, speaking of them, my dad called me after the game. He said, man, you know, it was hard us getting some runs against the Astros, and our lineup looks a lot more weak than it used to last year. What are the Indians got to do? Where are they going to get the runs from this year?
Well, the first thing is, and you mentioned Lindor, they got to get healthy. I mean, the margin for error that they had last year that they've had in recent years isn't there with the lineup changes they made. So they're going to have to get healthy. They dodged a bullet last Sunday with Jose Ramirez. He's healthy, at least healthy enough to play. So Francisco Lindor needs to get back in the lineup. Obviously, that would be a huge addition. Kipnis, like him or not, I still think he's better than what they're throwing out there at second base. So that's one thing. And then the other is this outfield needs to develop. And Tyler Naquin hitting in the three-hole again today, it'll be interesting to see if he can bring anything. Terry Francona said that he thinks that Naquin's an everyday player, which is interesting. I also think that Jake Bowers, he went 0-for-3 the other day, but I think he has something to offer in his second season too. So there's going to be plenty of ups and downs, DP, and there are going to be days like Thursday where they don't get many hits. They finish with two hits, as many hits as the Twins had runs. I will also say Berrios is a really good pitcher. That was part of it as well. So that won't be the last time the Indians struggle to score runs this year, but hopefully some of these young guys can step up, they can get healthy, and the lineup looks better a month from now than it did on Thursday.
When you look at you said something, you look at that outfield and you look at the lineup overall, and you're talking about the run support and where that's going to come, and you look at the no margin for error, so to speak. Do you believe? Because I'm of the belief that April is going to be a very pivotal month. A lot of people like to say baseball. The favorite term is, "Hey, it's a long season." It's still early. I think for this team, because of the fan base is saying, hey, man, we were waiting for moves. We were waiting for moves. The moves didn't come like we wanted to see. And now April, if this team has a slow start in April, do you think that builds mounting pressure on the front office to go out and to make something happen sooner rather than later?
Well, it'll just – you'll hear those. The public perception will continue, right? The trend over the past 5 months of underachieving in the offseason, of salary cutting, of ownership criticism, and obviously Paul Dolan over the past couple of weeks, his comments he hasn't helped himself. That will continue if they don't get off to that hot start, because that's the one thing that can counteract it all. It could counteract bad PR, where he's going out there and talking to Anthony Kastrovitz in The Athletic and saying stuff. It could counteract cutting over $20 million in salary for 2019 is winning. And if they get off to a slow start, then fans are going to look and say, see, I told you. See, we told you in December when you traded Yan Gomes. See, we told you when you moved on from Edwin Encarnacion and you didn't go out and get outfield help that this was going to happen. So it will be one of those things where fans will be like, we said it back in December. We said it back in January, and now it's coming true. And it'll make it that much harder. Let's say they go on a run in May or go on a run in June. It'll make it that much harder for fans to buy in to the 2019 Indians. So I'm with you. I think the perception, especially with this offseason, getting off to a hot start, and the lack of a margin for error, getting off to a hot start is a critical thing for this Indians club.
Talking to James Rapine of 92.3 The Fan, our own Indians beat reporter. You segue perfectly into the Dolan comments, and I kind of compared it earlier. You know, a lot of players say a lot of different things, and self-inflicted wounds are very difficult to deal with. The sport is hard enough. Whether you're playing in any of major three sports, whether that's basketball, baseball, or professional athletics. So when you say things and it puts that microscope on you and you have to go out and back it up and perform, when you say certain things, it doesn't do yourself any favors. And so I was totally confused when, you know, he came out and said the thing about, you know, just enjoying why he's here. Yeah, I just thought it was such an easy win for him. It would, you know, during these press conferences and the run up towards whether Lindor is going to be here or not. I mean, the Indians have been through this with Cliff Lee. They've been through this with Sabathia. I think this was an easy win for him. All he had to say is, hey, man, you know, Lindor is a great player. And our plans from Jump Street was to keep him as in the Indians uniform for the rest of his career. And you say that for 3 years, you don't worry about it. I don't, what do you think caused that? Because he seemed to actually have some sort of angst at war on him. It seems like he was really feeling the pressure of that, those talks going on this early in his contract.
Yeah. I don't know why he did it, because look, Paul Dolan's a smart guy. And
yeah,
to me, there was no reason to feed the perception, see the public outcry that Indians ownership is cheap and that they underachieved this off season and that they're not going to keep Frankie, and those fans that say, oh, just trade him anyway. Well, now that those chirps are louder, now they're screams, and they're in everyone that sees Lindor headlines like, oh, well, he's leaving in a couple years anyway. Like, that isn't changing now with his comments. So I'm with you. I think he should have came out and just said, we're going to do everything we can to try to keep him, and leave it at that. If you ended up having to trade him in 2 years, that would have been one thing. As far as the method to his madness, I wonder if he's just, and this is me purely speculating here, but I wonder if Paul Dolan's just frustrated.
Right.
Because when you look at the professional franchises in this city, obviously the Indians, they haven't won a championship. They haven't won the World Series, but they've been consistently good. And the way they run things has worked. So I wonder if part of him is just annoyed that suddenly everyone wants to question him and his willingness to win as they retool on the fly. They expect to win this year, obviously, and win the division and compete in the playoffs. But they're retooling. I think they would admit that. So I think that might be it. Is he just, he's frustrated with the criticism that the organization, especially after three straight division championships, is facing after this past offseason. That would be my guess, but who knows? I really don't know why he would go on record and say what he did.
When you look at this, and every person I get on, whether it's Greg Schwartz of the Bleacher Report, or you who follow the Indians specifically, and he follows the Cavs specifically, or whether it's John Costco who's following the AFC North with the Browns, you know, I always ask this question, and I get varying degrees of the same type answer, maybe kind of sorta. When you look at it in this town, do you believe that other organizations look at each other and look at what's going on in other buildings? And when I look at the Indians, and I've said this from all along, the Cavs and the Indians and the Browns, yes, they do not directly compete against each other. But what the reality of it is, this town does have a limited base of money to compete after. And the Indians and Cavs have never had to deal with a good Cleveland Browns team. Do you believe, like, hey, man, those guys in those two buildings are saying, as you do look at the Cavs and as you do cover a little bit of the Cavs as well, you talk to Daryl, do you think they're looking over at Lake Erie like, man, we got to do something?
I think it might get to that point. I think right now, if I'm a member of the, and again, this is me speculating, but if I'm a member of the Indians front office, you look and you say, well, we'll see if that works for the Browns. It hasn't worked in 2 decades.
Right.
Right? So you look at the Cavs and you say, all right, they seem to be kind of figuring it out towards the end of the year, but they haven't done anything without LeBron in over 15 years. And that, to me, is where I look at it, and I think that's where some of their frustration comes from. But you're right. I mean, if the Browns are as good as we think they are, it's probably the worst possible time for the Indians to scale back payroll, the worst possible time from a fan base standpoint to, instead of going for it, to not going for it, because I don't want to say they don't want to win, and I think they want to win, but be taking a long view like the Indians are. And so, yeah, if the Browns get off to a hot start this year, and in the next 8 years they win the division half of those times and get a playoff bye and really become the crown jewel of the city, like we know they can, especially when they're winning, and they are, heck, even when they're losing. Yeah, I think it'll be an interesting thing to see how the Cavaliers and the Indians react. Because you're right, it is, they are competing indirectly or directly to a degree for fans and season ticket holders, et cetera. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if the Browns are as good as we think they're going to be.
If the Browns are as good as they think they are, and the Cavs are fortunate to get Zion Williamson.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to call a board meeting real quick. We're going to have to
Then you're going to have to pay Lindor, give him that blank check.
We're going to have to do – yeah, we're going – if Zion Williamson, after what I saw – we're going to talk about him next hour. But after what I saw, if Zion it comes home to Cleveland, yeah, we're going to have to do some stuff. We're going to have to do some emergency marketing meetings because that's going to be pretty bad. Really quickly, I got about 60 seconds here. Who is your sleeper? I need a team that nobody's talking about in the NL and the AL. Sleeper teams for this year, I need to know.
Oh, sleeper. Sleeper. Well, let's just do it right now. I think the Twins are legit, and they're going to push the Indians to the brink. Push the Indians to the brink in the Central. I don't know if they'll beat the Indians. I have the Indians winning by a game or two.
Okay.
But I have the Twins winning 80-plus games. So let's just pick an AL team that directly impacts the Indians. And I'll go, let's see, National League. It's tough, man. There's a lot of them there. Is it a sleep? It's not a sleeper to say the Cardinals.
No, they're there every year. They
not
just
a sleeper to say.
Nah, you can't call them.
Let's go with. All right, I'm going to be a homer here. Let's go with the Reds. I think the Reds will be. Well,
that's a sleeper.
And I don't even know if that's. I don't even know if I fully believe myself. But I'll buy in. I think the Reds win 80-plus games, too. And it's tough for me to imagine them actually fighting for a playoff spot. But I'll go with them as my NL sleeper.
Hey, man. Fake it till you make it, man. Sometimes that's what you got to do, man. James, I appreciate you, man. Let's do it again soon, man. We're going to have you on there. We're going to talk baseball. The barbershop just does not only talk football. Stop playing around with me. We're going to do it again.
Sounds good, Garrett. By the way, I hope next hour when you talk Ion, you do the good juju or do whatever you need to do to bring him here the same way you did with Freddie Kitchen.
Yeah.
So I hope that prediction's coming.
Hey, listen, I gotta get the crystal ball back out. Let's do that.
Okay, good. All right, glad. I'll be listening.
All right, appreciate you, man.